I have a confession. Everyone loves church where the pastor confesses something. Yeah. Easter's like this amazing time where we celebrate Jesus and we come and we're reminded of all that he's done and won for us on the cross. Yes, it is. But for me, it's got some tough memories back to my childhood. When my mother was given four separate parcels for four separate children full of Easter eggs. But by the time Easter Sunday came, there was only one left. As she had made her way sacrificially through the other three. I forgive you, Mom, it's fine. We dealt with it. It's thank you. So, but it's just, it's left a little, just thought we should get that out the way. You know, now we're preaching about the finished work on the cross. But it's been an interesting couple of years at Easter. This year, we gathered for a family reunion, excited, and only, unfortunately for my dad, to end up in hospital for the last couple of days. He's doing well, but it's just like, last Easter, I decided to go for a surf the weekend before Easter. The result, yes, some of you remember, the result is I looked like a mummy because I put my surfboard through my own head, had a scar from ear to ear. Fortunately, I'm blessed with a head of hair, otherwise I'd have a horrible scar. And ended up preaching the next day with my head wrapped in that plaster stuff, and then I put a beanie on top. I tried to look like a hipster pastor, and that was an epic fail. I'll never do that again. I will say, though, the easiest way, apparently, in this church to get comments is to wear button-up shirts. I'm going to come in a suit soon. You guys are easy to please. But so this year, last year, the year before that, the day after Easter, I thought I'd go to the beach, have a relaxing time on the beach. There are hundreds of people on the beach, but I just happened to be the guy that spotted the guy that had the heart attack in the ocean and had to pull him out of the ocean. It's like, it always happens at Easter. But the worst Easter, just start with a moan, was 3 years ago. 3 years ago, had the privilege of being a part of the service on Friday, wake up on Saturday morning, silence. I could not utter a word. As laryngitis had struck. So I couldn't preach Sunday morning, had to send a message to Quinton, couldn't even voice note him, couldn't call him. I literally could utter nothing. Now, if you know anything about me, silence is not my favorite thing. The people in the front who know a little bit more, they laugh. I've been inspired by those pastors. I see them on Instagram, like, look at me away in the mountains seeking the Lord. I'm like, so I tried it once, twice actually. Went away, 2-3 days. I'm going to go read the Bible and pray for 3 days. One night, both times, I'm home. I love the noise. I grew up in a home with three older sisters who are rather dramatic, very loud, and don't have a single introverted bone in their body. And the way that they lamented was 2 a.m. round a baby grand piano in our house. That was the norm, an occurrence in our house. I then went to boarding school where you would wake up in noise and go to sleep in noise because you were with boys. Then the Lord said, I'll bless you with quiet ears, and gave me 3 sons. Who work themselves up into an absolute stupor until I have to explode to get the house back down. The neighbors know all about it, but I'm not a fan of silence. And yet we get this moment on Friday and the cross, and there's just silence. There's brutal pain and silence. Then we come to Silent Saturday, as we remember it, because there's not much spoken about. Jesus just goes into silent mode. Don't you hate it when people do that? Some of you live under the anxiety of the blue tick. Yeah. Here's a little tip. You can take it off. You can. Free tip from the pastor today. Go into your WhatsApp and you can deactivate that so you don't know when they got yours and they don't know when you got their message. Ah, blessings. But Jesus decided to go into silent mode. Pilate even says, hey, dude, do you even know the accusations? Well, Pilate didn't say dude, but do you even know the accusations that they are bringing against you? Even he knew they were preposterous, ludicrous, ridiculous. Jesus, silent. The best display, Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. I'm challenged by that as I grew up as a young man whose mouth was his greatest weapon. It's how you got through life. You learned to use your mouth. And God had to learn, and I had to learn under the leading of the Spirit of God to allow my mouth to be silenced, because it's not my natural way. My way is to fight. My way is to present. My way is to argue. Not Jesus. And so we get through Friday and its brutality and its silence. We get to Saturday and they call it Silent Saturday. And I want to encourage you, don't ignore Silent Saturday. The time between the prayers that have been played in faith and courage and the answer of those prayers, the time between the diagnosis and the breakthrough of God, the time between the struggle and the solution is important. What God does in those times in our hearts, in the delay, is important. And the silence torments us. It torments us. As the enemy starts to lie, was it me? Does God, did he see that? Did he not see that? Did I do something wrong? Did I not pray that prayer? All these lies of the enemy start to come. And we have to respond like Jesus. What did Jesus do? He laid there. He stayed silent. And he continued to trust God. How do we know? Well, Peter's preaching in Acts 2 and he declares, a prophecy about Jesus says, you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Jesus had such confidence in the promises of the Father that he lay still. He remained quiet and he trusted. But Sunday came. And I want to read about Sunday in Matthew 28. It says this in verse 1. Read with me. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurriedly, The woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell your brothers, my brothers, to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Spirit of God, as we come in this moment of remembrance and celebration, I'm reminded of the words my mate Mpele prayed this morning before the first service. He said, "There's unfinished business. I thank you that the cross is finished, but your work isn't in every life and every heart. I thank you that people might be finished, but you're not finished with them. I thank you that people might feel like your grace in their story is finished, but it's never finished with you, Jesus." And as we come in this moment, I pray, continue to call sons and daughters to more and more freedom, life, and joy in this place. We worship you, King. Amen. So Friday was pain and Saturday was silence, but Sunday was a shout. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. If they'd had Instagram in those days, all over it, people sharing it, not even knowing what it means or who this guy Jesus is. They're just sharing it. It's that loud. It's that earth-shattering, transforming, game-changing truth that has to result. We love putting Jeremiah 29 and all the promises up on our walls and our fridges, Christians and bumper stickers. What is the deal? But we should put this one. He is risen. Amen. As you open the fridge, he's alive. Come on. As you walk in the house, just as he said, it changes everything. And I want to speak today just simply about three things that the resurrection shouts to us. See, church is full up on Easter Sunday. It's Super Bowl Sunday for the church. It is. And people come, I've got a guy who comes every Easter and every Christmas, and he greets me as his pastor. He just comes Good Friday and Christmas, and that's okay. But millions and billions know about the truth. But will you allow the risen one to become your king? Will you allow that truth to settle and to seal and to make whole and to bring the joy and the freedom that he promises? Yeah. The first thing I think Easter and the Resurrection Sunday shouts is this: no more nails. No more nails. No more. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of preaching at a couple of different services, and I preached four times that Sunday. The problem is with me, most people, that would make them kind of tired. For me, it just gets me excited because I love what I do. So by Sunday night, 8 o'clock, the only thing flowing through my veins is adrenaline and coffee. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to strip the kitchen. We had a new kitchen coming in. We had a team coming in to come and do that. But I thought, why should I make them do it? So I grabbed the crowbar, and at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, I thought, I'm going to take this puppy down. It's been standing for 25 years. It's coming down. I will not lose this battle. And I started to go to battle with this kitchen, taking all the screws out. My wife upstairs praying, Lord, help him. Something's wrong with him. Help him, Jesus. But I'm attacking this kitchen, and I'm winning. Cabinets flying off. They just hear, gah, gah, as I'm trying to hold this cabinet. And my dog lying there, and the one cabinet falling. I'm like, trying, pilot, move, move. I thought I had it waxed. Then the last cabinet, this corner cabinet that stood for 25 years, taking all the screws out, couldn't see any nails anywhere. Think this is going to be easy. I'm just going to walk up to it. Just going to nudge it. Walked up, nothing. Walked up, hip, nothing. Gave it the old pull, nothing. Start getting inside. Where? What have I missed? What have I missed? I'm inside this cupboard looking up, looking for the nail that I missed. What have I missed? Eventually, I'm pulling, I'm sweating, I'm getting frustrated. The adrenaline has calmed down. Now I'm just going on pure human effort, and it's hard. And then I realize at the back, there's one nail, that the head of the nail is not exposed internally in the cabinet, but it's deep into the wall. I've got to try and get a saw down the back. I can't even pull this nail out. I've got to cut through this nail. One little nail held that whole cabinet against the wall for an hour of battling. I want to tell you, Christians, it's amazing that there are nails lying on the floor all around. The nail of my past, the nail of my brokenness, the nail of my failure, the nails thing. But the challenge is the enemy becomes a master of just keeping the one nail in place. Why? Because we struggle to believe that Christ has done it all. And I want to show you an amazing scripture, Colossians 2. When you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave us all. Say all. You know what all means in the Hebrew and the Greek? All. It's incredible. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Too many living like it's still Silent Saturday. Too many living like, well, thank you for taking me through my addiction and getting me free, but I don't know if I can trust you with my past. Thank you with the healing of that sickness, that disease, but I don't know if I can trust you with my future. A nail, and we allow these nails to come, and the enemy's saying, well, God's good and he's kind, but he's not that good. So just one nail anchors you to the wall. He's saying, God, I want to live for you. I want to please you. I want to run for you, Jesus. But there's just one anchoring you down. And I want to tell you today, all. No more nails. All. Every single one taken upon his body. Every single one taken. The pain drilling through. They put those nails through his wrists. They couldn't put it through his hands because it wouldn't have held the weight of his body up. They put it through his wrists, so that he could hold the weight up while they nailed through his ankles into the vertical beam of that cross. For your sin and mine. Yeah. All of it. Yeah. All of it. It was brutal. The evidence would have been all around where that cross was, as the nails lay where they pulled them out. But Jesus appeared. He said, look, look, doubting Thomas, look. See the scars, no more nails. Why? So that 2,000 years later, sons and daughters can walk free of the nails of your sin. Mark, but that's too good, that's scandalous. Welcome to the gospel of grace. It is scandalous. Read the Bible and believe the promises. I want to move forward. No more nails. Secondly, no more tombs. What do I mean? Well, everyone loves the moment where Jesus, well, they love that story. Jesus passes away and then the curtain is torn. But who knows what happens next? I love it. Read with me. Matthew 27. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rock split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Jesus dies, the curtain is torn, next minute tombs open, and you've got the walking dead walking around town. Whoa, whoa! You guys think you've seen the Messiah. This is the original. Before Jesus has died, the tombs are opened. As he's resurrected, you've got the dead man walking. Welcome to the church. It's just a bunch of dead men and women walking who've been made alive by the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ alone, where the tombs have been rolled open and we're walking because of Jesus. In 2007, my wife and I made the biggest decision of our life to trust Jesus, leave careers, leave years of study, and become pastors. I had preached once. It wasn't very good. I wasn't convinced. Yet I knew God had called me to something. And so we thought we're going to go. And you know what happened after that? Woo, silent Saturday. We're trusting for children. We couldn't fall pregnant. How can this be, God? And so I was in ministry. I needed something to do. The guy leading the church said, pray, read your Bible, and meet with people. I'm like, there's only so much. I got to do something, buddy. That's like a lot asked for an ADD boy. Just pray and read your Bible all day. I gave it a go. By 8:15, I'm listening to audiobooks, trying to pack the chairs. So I started something on campus. And we got 80 or 90 students together. And maybe you know this story. Please forgive me if you do. But we went away and there was a time of worship. And no one knew that we were struggling. No one knew that Kans had tests and her progesterone was zero. And they gave medication. Progesterone was zero. And if you know anything about it, and we paid lots for specialists, progesterone at zero means no babies. Not possible. And so we decided to trust God. And we just said, God, we're going to go off all medication. We're going to just trust you entirely. We're going to lie down. We're going to stay silent. I'm going to trust you. And in a moment of worship, and the band had been worshiping, this young man walked up to me. He was 19 years old. I could see that he was a redhead, but his hair was black because he dyed it black. He was about 42 kgs in the shade. His name was Gabriel Phillips. And if you've ever seen Gabe cry, you'll know it's not a pleasant experience to witness. But he walks up to me with dyed black hair, crying his eyes out, saying, can I pray for your wife? I'm going, what? He says, can I pray for your wife? I said, why? He said, he wants to pray for her womb. Then his best mate walks up and says, can I also pray with him? I said, why? He said, no, I want to pray for his womb. His best mate, 37 kgs, dreadlocks down. I said, God, is this the team you've chosen? Seriously, like, I'm not doubting your ability. I'm like, but like, you've chosen some interesting teams. Is this the one? Like, you add them up in kgs, they won. But and Gabe began to pray. He said, the stone's been rolled away. Lazarus, come out. The stone's been rolled away. And he just kept saying, the stone's been rolled. He started shouting. He started crying. He started declaring it. The stone's been rolled away. The stone's been rolled away. Let life come. About a week or two later, we fell pregnant. Went to our specialist. He said, I don't believe in miracles, but this is a miracle. So I got a phone number a couple of weeks later when we were about 8 weeks pregnant. I thought, let me encourage that young guy. I got that young guy named Gabe Phillips. Got his number from another friend of mine, and I phoned him, and he was at lunch with 8 or 9 people. I said, Gabe, I just want to encourage you. I honestly believe your prayer of faith, your believing that Jesus rose from the cross, your believing that God continues to open up wombs as he opens up tombs, was part of God doing a miracle. You know what Gabe did? He put the phone down on the table and shouted, I made Candace Van Pletsen pregnant. True story. True story. Who would have thought all these years later we'd be working together? Now, boys are here, so don't embarrass them. They still have a triple bunk bed, which I made for them. I still go into that room at night sometimes when they're sleeping. And I thank God
that he's the God who opens wombs and opens tombs so that the sons of God can come out, the daughters of God can find freedom. I'm still overwhelmed by his goodness. And I believe he'll do it for you too. It's why he rose. And I truly believe his blood never fails. If you'll trust him, you'll see greater things. The stone has been rolled away. No more nails. No more tomb. And no more death. The cross wasn't just an event that had to happen in history. The cross was a game changer. The enemy knew it. The demons knew it. The angels knew it. It flipped the script on death itself. This shouldn't happen. This cannot happen. This can't be happening. Jesus. Hello. Death was final until Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, "For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The shout of Sunday is no more nails, not even one. Not even one. Sometimes I come on a Sunday and I have the privilege of preaching to you beautiful people the truth of the gospel, and I'm going, God, but I know what I thought this week. I know what I doubted this week. And then amazing people like Jean-Monique and Lebo and Mpele and others come up and lead the worship, and I'm reminded of the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, and that without that I'm dead in my sins, in my folk, in me, but Jesus. And it's the same for every one of us. Death wants to hold. Death wants to keep small. Death wants to bring fear. Some of you right now are fearful of death. But more than that, there's death in relationships, death in stories, death in dreams. Right now, there's death coming upon a generation who are looking forward and saying, what opportunities will there be? He has risen just as he said he would. We are the believers. It means we've got to stop telling the stories of our dead days like they're some sort of award on the wall. I remember coming to the church, and I got saved at 14 years old. I was in church before that, but I encountered Jesus, and I remember people telling stories, and I kind of thinking, Jesus, I'm 14. I can't have one of those debauched stories yet. Maybe I should get saved at like 25 so I can have some debauched years. Because there's so much conversation around our broken past. Why don't we get good at telling the story about what he's done? Why don't we get good at telling the stories about all that he has won? Even if there's faith in the story and it's not a finished story yet, tell the story of what he has done. Declare it to your days ahead and trust him in every promise that he has for you. Why? Because death is defeated. Where is your sting? The minute he rose from that grave, the power of death over your life, sir, and your life, ma'am, was broken because of the blood of Jesus and the blood of Jesus alone. Not your ability to hold on, not your ability to pull the nails out, not your ability to move the stone. You cannot do it. But Jesus. And Sunday comes and says the silence is over. It's over. It's over. Eddie, it's over. It's over. No more nails. No more tombs. No more death. It's over. It's finished. Just hold out your hands for a moment. Come, Spirit of God. touch your son. The finished work of the cross is yours today. The Father loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Before we rush off, if you hear this morning saying, I love Jesus, I want to live for God, I want to live for the Father, but I just feel like I can't move. It's because there's a nail and it's stuck and it's something of my past, and I've been working really hard to get it out, and the minute I get it out, it's like another one takes a hold. I want to ask you to stand. We're going to fight for freedom. We're going to hear the shackles come off. That's you, and their lies holding. Their lies and their rejection and the lies of the enemy, and there's a lot of people. He's saying, I want to move forward. I want to come out of the tomb. I want these grave clothes that stink. I want them ripped off. Come out of the tomb. Why don't you lift your hands to Jesus now? No more nails. No more tombs. No more death. Life. He is risen. Just as he said he would, he is risen. It changes your past, your present, your future. He is risen. It means every lie that sticks today will not hold tomorrow. He is risen. It means every stain that is held, every stain that has come upon you through circumstance, situation, or decisions you have made. When the Father looks, he sees the robe of righteousness. He's the blood of Jesus that paid every price. And you're spending so much energy trying to hide the debt of your past, of your darkness, and putting a brave front forward. And God's saying, come. Come. Come now. Come. I've got unfinished business with you. Spirit of God, you are here. Not just another service, not another moment, you are here. Open up. Lazarus, come out. Open up. The stones must roll. The stone must roll. Come out. Come out. Sons and daughters of the living God, come out. Come out of your depression now. Come out, come out, come out. Come out of your relational debt and rejection. Come out, son. Come out, daughter. Come out. Come out of your anger that has held you in that cave. Come out, come out. It is finished. He is risen. He's risen. Spirit of God, you are here. We trust you. Thank you for the chains that are falling. Thank you for the rattle of those chains on the floor. Thank you that Jesus' blood never fails. It 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 never fails. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just before we rush off, I can't move forward without giving you an opportunity. If you have not received Jesus as your Savior, I'm not talking about ticking a box on a census. I'm talking about Jesus as your Savior. I'm talking about His blood over every part of your life. I'm talking about baptized in the love and the grace and the power of the living God. I'm talking about a decision of your will. If you have not made that decision, do not leave today. I want to tell you one, that He loves you. That there's nothing you have done that He would be shocked by. He's seen it all, sorry to tell you now. But He died for you anyway. And He rose so you can live life free. If you haven't made that decision now, I want to pray with you now. Will you raise your hand right now if you're saying, actually, I've never given my life, or I need to give my life. I need right now to make Jesus my Lord and Savior right now. Don't miss this moment. Will you raise your hands if that's you? Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. I declare the dead to life. I thank you. Every stain come off your sons and daughters now. Every single one. I thank you, new life come where the enemy has had a field day. I declare new life, new freedom, new joy, new liberty right now. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Never to be the same again.